Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
College football, it's a fast-moving train. Get on or get run over. Bryce Underwood dragging Michigan fully into the NIL era. Who knows if he pans out, but he gives him a jolt and a real shot at dynamic play from the quarterback position, and he will bring others with him. It's a big day for Michigan. We're going to get the phone calls, get your thoughts. Let's go to Mel in Detroit. Mel, you're on 97.1.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good.
Just Coach Mel, Coach Bryce Underwood, when he was 8 years old. And I'm going to tell y'all, will he pan out? On this day, he's not only going to pan out, he's going to be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. What made this guy spectacular was his mental capacity. He was reading defenses at 8 years old. He took our plays and he was checking out of them as eight. Will he pan out? Man, them throws, Michigan quarterback, he was doing that at 11 years old. And this all is documented. You can go on YouTube and check it out.
Oh, yeah.
He, fellas, I'm telling you, I've been coaching for 10 years. He's Tom Brady on steroids. And if you set and if you talk to this guy, you will know. I don't know would he pan out. I know he's going to pan out. I know Michigan will win more games, and I know they will win the championship. He's going to be the number one pick in the NFL. $10 million? That's petty. That's petty. And I'm telling you, you could talk to every coach that coached him. We give him plays. He knew how to read coverages at 8 years old. 4.0 student since he was 8 years old. He's Tom Brady on steroids. Everything I'm saying is documented. Michigan, Motor City Wolverines, he played for.
Yep.
He beat me when I coached against him when he was on Raiders. He beat me, and I knew that I couldn't beat this kid. He was doing too much stuff. 50-yard throws at 8 years old. I'm going to tell you like this. It's certain kids that is made for this. We've seen Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James. I think the guy's made him to play football. This all he knows, studying and playing football.
You are laying it on real thick. I'm not mad at you. You've seen him up close. The only reason I said we don't know is we've seen five stars with pedigrees who rose up through the youth ranks at their state level not turn into star players. I don't mean to disrespect Bryce Underwood at all. And I do think it's a huge day for Michigan. Mel, appreciate the phone call and the perspective on him.
Well, you love it when athletes really want to work at what they do. One of the things that made Calvin Johnson so great was he was gifted at birth with a lot of things most human beings are not gifted with. But along with that, he was gifted with the drive to be the best. A lot of athletes are really good at what they do, but they're just good at what they do. They don't have that, I want to study film. How can I beat you? How can I, like, the competitive angle of it? I've had the wonderful opportunity to be around guys like a Charles Woodson, like a Champ Bailey, like Megatron. And those are very few and far between. So when you see it at a young age and it continues throughout the course of a young career, you're hoping that it continues at the next step. There's no guarantee, but it gives you all the advantages in the world to reach that success.
And speaking of no guarantees, these recruiting rankings are not gospel. But this is the second best recruit the University of Michigan has ever brought in since they've been tracking this. The only one better was Rashawn Gary, who he delivered. He's in the NFL. He's still doing very well for himself. If you had the equivalent of a Rashawn Gary at quarterback, knowing what that position means in today's college football, if you can solidify the next 3 years of dynamic, mobile, dangerous quarterback play, I mean, it's a game-changing foundational move for Michigan if he pans out. And I have to say if just because he's a high school athlete. They're all ifs. You'd rather go into battle with a guy with the track record of this player, and Michigan lands him. And it does ask the question about how much brighter the future is. I mean, you're staring down a 6-6 football season, not feeling great about your program, and a move like this suddenly jolts you back to life a little bit. Let's get to Mark in Detroit. Mark, you're on 97.1.
Good morning. How you doing?
What's Love up?
Yeah, I think that this is a great move for Michigan football going forward in the future. I believe that now the head coach that's currently there, he'll get actually the first opportunity next year to really make it a, taking the program and putting his name on the program and seeing what he's really capable of doing as the head coach as far as well as developing a program. Mm-hmm. As far as this transfer portal thing, it's just the new landscape of college football. You know what I mean? So we just as fans, we just have to get used to it. There's some nuance of it I don't like the how many times you can actually transfer as a player. I think they need to cut that. I think they need to give it a limit. I think for me, I think a limit of two. Once you commit to a college, you got one more opportunity to transfer, and that's it. I don't think you need the unlimited transfers to prove if you're a good college football player or not. As far as the money, the universities, the ADs, everybody's making money. Why shouldn't the college football players
right.
make some a little bit? You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's my viewpoint on it.
Well, Mark, appreciate the phone call. And yeah, in terms of limiting transfers, I don't know the right answer. I think there needs to be an answer. I mean, if your coach leaves, I think you should have a window to leave. I think you should
There's
get at least
reasons.
One mulligan, maybe not unlimited mulligans. Because that's the concern here is you get paid, not Bryce specifically, but a guy gets paid and then more money opens up somewhere else at another school the very next season. And it wasn't enough that you paid a guy millions and millions of dollars. There's a bigger bag at a school down the road. And I understand, do what's best for you and your family, but the sport has to maintain some level of competitive balance too. And I think that's where we get into, will there be salary caps with revenue dollars used on players? Will there be caps on transfers? I mean, these are things that do need to be sorted out.
Well, there is going to be a cap on revenue dollars. But
then how do you legislate NIL? Because if everybody's still going to have their collectives, it's still going to be the same thing. It's just going to raise the floor.
Yeah.
But it's still going to mean Georgia and Michigan and Alabama and Texas, any of these big revenue teams who also have big collectives, are just going to use the collectives to one-up everybody else
right.
like it currently already happens.
Mm-hmm. It's the business of college football. And right now there are very few rules that are consistent from state to state or school to school.
Tony and Carlton, what do you think of Tom Brady on steroids picking Michigan? You're on 97.1.
Well, my comment is this is I don't have a problem with the athletes getting paid. I think they deserve it. I think one of the problems with the Bryce Underwood situation is you're giving a kid who's that young that much money, who lives from Belleville, he lives where he lives, to Ann Arbor, so close together that during the off season, during the week, you know, when he's got time off after school, he can go home. And sometimes that can be a distraction for athletes because they're hanging out with their same friends. Now they got this abundance of money. It could cause them to get in trouble. Sometimes it's better that the kid goes away from their state and their hometown. That way they can kind of grow as a team with their team and they don't have the distractions of their childhood friends maybe that could cause them that.
Yeah, it was a huge trouble for me. I say it jokingly. Has it been an issue for Aiden Hutchinson? Like, this was part of the discussion. All of these guys need to go away because of their friends or, you know, being too close to home. I think it is not giving enough credit to the individual that they're going to make the decisions that are best for them. Is every kid going to make a really good decision? No. They're 17, 18, 19, 21 years old. But let's give a little bit more credit for the people that we have heard from that are familiar with some of these recruits.
Yeah.
Have we heard anybody call in and say, oh, man, he makes really bad decisions?
No, people have really stuck up for the person he is, not just the player he is. And I do think it's case by case. Yeah, I think money exaggerates who you are, right? Well, if you're a well-rounded, grounded person, money isn't going to turn you into an undisciplined person. If you're undisciplined and then you get money, it's going to multiply it and make it a huge issue.
And you look at any school in state, Michigan State, Michigan. Where is the highest percentage of their roster from? In state.
Yeah.
And so are all those kids making a bad decision?
No, they're going to hang out.
They should all go out of state. Like, to me, that's just a ridiculous argument.
Yeah. 248-539-9797. We are going to get a few more thoughts on Bryce Underwood. We've got to talk Lions. It's a football Friday, and the NFL season is very much in the thick of it. Lions on the road. Are they on the road this week? I don't think it's going to feel like a road game. We'll get to that before the hour ends. It's 97.1.
TGIF. And obviously, we all know it's Friday. We love Fridays. Every Friday night, FanDuel is giving all customers a bigger payout on select NBA first bets. First bets lets you get in on all the action from the opening tip. You can bet from things like who's going to score the first basket, which team will be the first to 15, and there's a lot more to choose from. And best of all, you don't have to wait for the entire game to be over to know if you won. Just look for Friday First in the FanDuel app to find your profit boost. Visit FanDuel.com/Jansen to claim your Friday First profit boost. Make every moment more with FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NBA. You must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. Opt-in required. Max wager amount applies. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable profit boost tokens. Restrictions apply, including token expiration. See terms for both offers at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
It's a game changer for Michigan. Bryce Underwood from Belleville, the number one player in his class, picks Michigan, flips from LSU. If the reported $10 million is true, I'm sure that didn't hurt. But it gives Sharon Moore a cornerstone early in his tenure. It gives Michigan a shot at a real dynamic quarterback, and it pushes them fully into the NIL era. Game changer whether he is or not that Michigan is in here throwing haymakers, putting big bags of cash out there. And yes, the relationships matter. Sharon has stressed that with us. But it can't solely be about, hey, I really trust the coach in today's college football. You got to pay the freight. And it looks like Michigan has entered that level of college football. Let's get to James in Southfield. James, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Jim. And good morning, John. And good morning, Heather.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you guys doing today?
Good.
Good. This real quick, I wanted to address the guy in reference to the donation side, the charitable side. The sophisticated donor has a realistic idea of how they're going to bring that kind of money. And what we have to recognize is that the athlete has labored, the college athlete, the superior athlete, has labored for this type of due. John can talk to that. I had a son who was an All-American in high school, and he did not get the benefits of this type of program. The university got the rewards of his ability to play and all the things with it, jersey sales and TV revenue and all that. But this is a process that is long overdue, and the young man and the university has to come up to that, and that's why he is there. And so I just want to let him know that there's sophisticated donors who understand to donate to the proper cause, and the messaging that it brings will allow that type of donor to come to it. Let the football guys get their due because they've labored for it for a long time. Thank you.
James, I think that's well said. You talk about these sophisticated donors, and I mentioned it at the time as well. This is not the only thing that they're donating to. They are donating to hospitals. They're still donating to the athletic department. They're still donating to the universities. This is just a piece of the pie.
Correct. And they want to be able to diversify their portfolio. So, and again, the football, I know a lot of the athletes. they have labored years after year to get to this point in history. And so it's just the evolving of what football is, and Michigan is now coming up to par with that. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate the school doing that, and other schools would get
you. James, how's your son doing now? What's he up to?
Oh, he did very well. He went to be an All-American. To work with that, he became an All-American in college from high school, was very, very good, and he went on to play professional football.
Oh, congratulations.
That's awesome. Yeah, you should be proud of that. And appreciate
his name, though. Thank you.
Okay, and appreciate the phone call. Yeah, we had some people call in, discussed it, the landscape of college football. But to his point about the labor, right, this is big business. College football is not amateurism as much as people want to believe that. It's shamateurism, if it's anything. I mean, There's a lot of money in college athletics, and the idea that the actual people putting the work in, the people we tune in to watch, weren't getting a cut, long overdue. So, yeah, it's clunky right now. Wild, wild west right now. I'm not mad at them for getting what they can get at all. That doesn't disgust me at all that they're like professionals. Okay, they're putting a lot of work in. I have no issue with them in a semi-professional setting getting wages, getting paid to be there.
And trust me, I'm only human. There are times when moments of college athletes getting paid.
Does it bother you?
Well, it doesn't bother me that they're getting paid. Am I jealous? Yeah.
That's human nature.
I mean, yeah. When you're an All-American and captain and national champ, Big Ten champ, you're like, wait a second here. Where was mine? So, yeah. I mean, that's just the human part of me.
Yeah, of course.
And so it's... But I don't begrudge these kids. It's just the same thing in pro sports. Everything is going to evolve. And everything is going to continue to... All the numbers are continuing to go up. We have not seen a year in the NFL where spending has gone down. We're not going to see a year in college athletics where spending goes down. Now, where it may go down, and I think what we're going to see in terms of college coaches, are there... for other than the select few that are sought after and people will pay whatever they want for them, are college coaches' contracts going to change in terms of how much they're making if they leave for another job or if they're fired? Are they not guaranteed all of that money? Because right now, there's a lot of coaches that are going to keep their jobs this year simply because the extra money that is going to be dedicated to revenue sharing next year, they're figuring this out. And in a couple of years, does it return to, hey, we could fire a coach after 2 years no matter what the buyout is? That buyout right now is probably preventing them from making a change.
All right, we have not talked about the Lions today. We're going to talk about them coming up at 7:50. Any concern, mobile QB, run game, or are we just, hey.
Full steam ahead.
Full steam ahead. And a question. The schedule says this is a road game. I'm not so sure. But first, Heather with the news.
Just in time for America's Thanksgiving Day Parade, the Turkey Trot, the Lions' annual Thanksgiving Day game, the Detroit People Mover is coming back. So we talked about this earlier, but in case you haven't heard, it was closed for 11 weeks to replace sections of the train's original tracks. Well, now the People Mover will reopen next week. So it's going to return, and it's going to run for 36 hours of nonstop service. It's going to start at 6:30 a.m. on Wednesday, November 27th. It's going to run through 7 p.m. on Thanksgiving Day, which is November 28th. Pretty cool. And then after the holiday, they're going to introduce new permanent hours. It's going to open a little earlier. It's going to close later on weekdays and on Sunday. So Monday through Friday, it will run 6:30 a.m. to midnight, Saturday 10 a.m. to midnight, and Sunday 10 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Awesome. I think it's a great sign, too, because more people are down there, more people are moving around the city, and it's just a great indicator of where Detroit is.
Definitely. A Warren police officer was severely injured in a tragic hunting accident last Saturday. It's a really sad story. Officer Nick Cott and his father, they traveled to their cabin in Gladwin, obviously to enjoy this hunting trip together. But the trip took this just grim turn when Cott fell about 25 feet from his tree stand, and he laid there alone for about 3 to 4 hours before he was finally found. He had to be airlifted to the University of Michigan Hospital, where he is now in critical condition. According to his wife, he is on a ventilator. He's unable to feel anything from the neck down. It sounds like could be paralyzed. His wife says it's a miracle that he survived, and she's obviously praying that he will be able to return home and tuck his son send his best friend into bed again. Obviously, other things too, but that's one of the things she's looking forward to. But even when he does return home, it sounds like they're going to need a whole lot of assistance because the house has to be accommodating to his new mode of transportation, which would most likely be a wheelchair. So it's just a really sad story.
Tragic accident.
We've heard these stories of people falling out of their tree stands before. It's really sad.
Yeah. Hey, it's just like when you go on a boat, you wear your life jacket when you're in a tree stand, and things can happen before you're able to, but wear your safety harness.
Yeah.
It can save your life.
Yep. Some good news. Tarek Skubal celebrated his 28th birthday on Wednesday, which also happened to be the same day that he was named the best pitcher in the American League. So after receiving the Cy Young Award, he went outside where his wife, Jessica, was there, surprised him with a new car. So that's a fun way to celebrate both your birthday and this major award. There was a video that was posted online by Major League Baseball. You can see that they walk out of the house together, and his wife asks, you don't see anything? And he kind of looks around and then looks towards the driveway and was like, wait, is that a car? So she got him a car, and then his buddies were there too, and they hosed him down with champagne and just...
That's awesome.
What a day for him.
What kind of car was it? Do we know?
I couldn't really... It's a black SUV.
Okay. And it was probably dark out?
That's what I got. Yeah, it was in the evening. So that's all I got for you. I don't know exactly what kind of car it was, but I'm sure it's something very nice.
Well, that feels like those commercials we get around the holiday where the husband or the wife surprises with the car. And I'm always thinking, that's a big financial decision to surprise your partner with. But in the case of Tarek Skubal, they can afford it.
Yes, they can. They sure can. Do you guys remember the man who allegedly faked his own kayaking death, left behind his wife and kids?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well,
Uzbekistan guy.
Yes. He is alive, he is well, and he has sent a video to police to confirm it all. Police say that they made contact with this guy through a Russian-speaking woman back on November 11th, and they say they've been in contact with him daily ever since. They don't know where he is, but he is safe somewhere overseas. The video that was sent was from an apartment, he said, somewhere they believe in Eastern Europe. Police say that the man's family does want him to return home, especially as the holidays are approaching, and they're hoping that that can kind of pull at his heartstrings, get him brought home. The story is wild, really, right? And in the video, he has explained how he did it all. I mean, and he really thought the search would be over in about a week, 2 weeks. Didn't realize they'd be searching for him for 54 days. Thought he would just get away with everything. Now his concern is if he returns home, how will he be viewed from his community?
As a scumbag who wasted community resources for 2 months, how else should he be viewed by his community? I mean, come on, dude.
Well, that's what he's nervous for. Yeah, so the police are saying, no.
Oh, so wait, never mind. It's actually going to be totally fine. Just come back. You don't have to face any consequences.
They want him to come home.
Sure.
They want him back. So they're... Well, he could face consequences.
Well, yeah, his family wants him back for different reasons than the police may want him back.
My point was lure him back. Oh, it's all good. It's all good.
It's almost Christmas. Come home to the family. Your kid. He's got three kids.
Well, yeah, that's the other thing.
Sounds like a Hallmark movie.
But he has to take his shirt off, too, because now all these Hallmark movies are like topless men.
Oh, really?
I don't know. I just watched another one last night, and it was like Magic Mike meets Christmas. Yes, I'm serious.
That's why I asked. So what was the, hot frosty? Yes. That's why I asked. I'm like, what was it rated?
Exactly.
Heather with the news. It's 97.1. Dive into the best pool in history, especially as we're starting to get some snow. You're probably thinking about hitting somewhere warm. Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino, where you can watch all the big games at a viewing experience that's designed. Every level of it is designed for you, the sports fan. There are three levels to that beautiful pool, and you have a massive 40-foot tall, high-definition screen to watch all the big games. Stadium Swim, America's favorite place to watch football, with the swim-up bars, the Insta-ready selfie walls, and a nonstop party. Score your perfect spot. It could be the cozy day beds, the private cabanas, lounge at the center of the action, but reserve your place today. 365 days of sports poolside, located at Circa Resort and Casino. That's downtown Las Vegas on Fremont Street. Stadium Swim, all sports, all seasons. Book your spot today, CircaLasVegas.com. All right, help me out here. The schedule says this is a road game for the Lions. They're going to be at Indianapolis. I don't think this is going to be a road game for the Detroit Lions.
Well, it's road game because there's the at symbol in front of at Indianapolis. If you were to travel down there for work, would you be able to use the expenses as a write-off on your taxes?
Sure.
So classified as a road game.
But
however,
when the game starts and there are 60-65% Lions fans, it's not going to feel like a road game.
It'll be the only way you'll really be able to tell, unless you look closely and say, oh, there's a Lions jersey, will be the cheering. Obviously, that'll be the number one thing, because very similar colors in the stands, Colts, Lions.
I mean, Houston had to use a silent count at home on Sunday Night Football. That's a marquee game. They're wearing their red jerseys, their whatever.
That's a fly to. This is a drive to.
Right. This is Midwest footprint, short drive. You probably bought tickets before the season. Many people have made plans to go to this game. We'd love to hear from you. 248-539-9797. Ford Field South. The tour continues. Do you expect this to be a Lions home game? And then we could talk football too, John. I mean, we haven't really at all touched on the matchup with the Colts. But people can jump in, 248-539-9797.
Yeah, it's. I think there's going to be a lot of people that make that trip. And there's what makes it so easy is you could go down on Saturday, but you don't have to.
No.
For all the Big Ten championship games the last 3 years, I've gone down day of. Now, it's granted, that's a night game. This one's going to be earlier, but you could leave at 7 in the morning, go to the game, and if you wanted to, still drive home at night. That makes for a very long day, or if you could find one that's just a one-night stay, you could stay at a hotel on Sunday night, or it could be a Saturday night if you got to be up at work on Monday morning. But it's a
doable,
very easy trip for Lions fans to be able to make.
Will this be the biggest takeover game of the year? Because of proximity. Like, listen, it's impressive what Lions fans have done in Houston and Green Bay and these other stops.
Proximity and availability.
Yeah.
Because nobody's going to sit there and say Indianapolis Colts, hey, they're having a great season. They're all right. They're one game under 500. I don't think they're going to ultimately be a playoff team. I don't think they're ultimately going to contend for the AFC South. So there will be more tickets available, because you always think, okay, well, would more Lions fans want to go to Chicago? Sure. But Chicago, even if they're bad, Chicago fans are going to show up.
Yeah.
Green Bay, there's been some takeovers at Lambeau, but in large part, they're still, I mean, we may be more vocal than the, you know, the Lambeau, whatever they call them, leapers. But I think going down to Indianapolis is the availability of tickets, affordable tickets, for those that want to go on a road trip.
Well, yeah, and you're right. I think Chicago, because Bears fans are going to support their team. And also, Chicago's a cold weather outdoor game. This is inside. This is a dome. I mean, there's no consideration to sitting out in the cold for 3 hours.
And it's a great city to go to.
Yes.
A lot of good restaurants, a lot of hotel rooms, a lot of they make it very easy to go to Indianapolis for a sporting event.
How do you feel about the matchup? It's a mobile quarterback. You don't have Alex Anzalone. They have a good run game. What do you think?
So I'm really interested. One, I want to see the interior of the offensive line handle DeForest Buckner. Selfishly, you get a chance to see Quiddy Pay. But I'm more interested in the development of Jack Campbell, who's going to be wearing the green dot, not just sporadically, but all game long. And I want to see this team. Now, it's going to be interesting to see what type of offense Indianapolis puts out there, because Anthony Richardson, I think this is the second game, right, of his, you're going to be the starter for the rest of the season.
And he led them on a couple fourth quarter scoring drives in his first game back as the starter.
He's very prone to turnovers. And I like that going against this, you know, very turnover heavy defense. But I want to see how they handle a mobile quarterback. He may not be a great quarterback, but one of the skills that he does have is he's a tremendous athlete. He can get outside the pocket. He can extend plays. He can pick up first downs. He can run for a long way really fast. And so I want to see Aaron Glenn construct a game plan to limit, and you're never going to stop a mobile quarterback, but limit their production on the ground.
It's almost like you can soft launch some of what you're going to have to do against a Hurts or an Allen or a Mahomes. Some of the things you're going to have to do from a rush lane standpoint.
Sure.
A package to try to contain a guy like that.
But it's also the full implementation of Za'Darius Smith.
Yeah.
You know, we heard last week that, okay, they were going to try some things out with them. What we've heard from Aaron Glenn is, you know, a couple of whoa moments where they're like, okay, well, we can use him inside to rush. We can use him outside. We can use him as a stand-up, you know, spinner type. Like, the ability to learn more about a player and then deploy him in different scenarios, situations, positions, I'm curious about that as well.
Let's talk football. Let's talk travel plans. Let's get to the phones. Larry in Detroit, good morning. You're on 97.1.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
We're heading down tomorrow morning. We bought the tickets back when the schedule came out, is what I'm trying to say. And I guess the Lions is having a big tailgate down there at a place called the Industry for season ticket holders. So we were unable to get the tickets for that, but we're taking our tailgate gear down there and we're going to tailgate outside the building, which is like about 3 blocks away from Lucas Oil.
How many, when you say we, how many are you going?
We're going down with four.
Okay.
And we're staying through Monday.
Okay. There gonna go. Make a whole make a weekend know, out. Yeah, a couple
yeah,
nights out of
there
it.
There you go.
We're going down. We're cooking out in the morning. It's just going to be like a regular home game is what we're planning on.
That's kind of what I'm thinking. It's going to be a regular home game for Lions fans.
Yep.
Larry, enjoy the game.
Yeah, travel safe.
Thank you, guys. You guys, thank you very much. Have a good day. Yep.
You Thanks. Too.
Let's get to Pierre in Windsor. Pierre, your thoughts. You're on 97.1.
So, hey, guys. It's my son's 16th birthday next week. And he mentioned wanting to go do a Honolulu Blue takeover because he sees him on TV. He gets all excited about it. And I said, nah, it's too expensive. We're not doing it. So he has no idea. But tomorrow morning when he wakes up, I'm going to look at him and say if he's ready to go. And I'm sure he'll be like, what are you talking about? Where are we going? And I'll let him know we're going to go do a Honolulu Blue takeover. We are leaving tomorrow morning. We'll be back Sunday night. And we plan on tailgating with the Upermans. And we'll hang out with them all morning long.
Oh, that's awesome. Are you going to mess with your son at all? You're going to tell him, hey, you're ready to go, and then set the two-minute warning set and watch how fast he can put his stuff in a bag to get ready to go?
Oh, yeah. We're planning on doing a whole video and everything. I'll have all the stuff already all packed up there. But it'll be good.
Well, right. Pierre, that's an awesome story, surprising your son.
Yes.
And I wonder too, like it's probably cheaper to go to this game than a lot of Lions home games, right? So you do, it's expensive travel, and Lions home games are expensive. This kind of is a sweet spot for Lions fans because it's drivable, probably more affordable, and you get to be part of the Lions takeover. This phenomenon. Where Lions fans turn road games into home games. Are you going to be part of that this weekend? 248-539-9797. It's 97.1. Quick note on the Red Wings. That's more like it.
Yeah. Did you have did you do what we asked? The car flags?
I didn't.
Oh.
But I did wear for the first time this year. Red Wing jersey, the sweater season's here.
Is there a number on the back? Name on the back?
Yeah, I got Mo Sider, baby. Long-term deal, future of this team. John, it was long overdue. They actually outplayed the opponent. They deserved to win the game, and it was stressful because they weren't going to win it until the very end. But that was great. Casper Kane and Kat on the same line was a good thing to see. Looked like maybe there's some more that they can get out of that group together. And it was an important win. We spent some time this week with some hyperventilating and some deep breaths and the Iser plan, and it's not all fixed, but they needed that game. Now they have a stretch coming up with a bunch of home games, start to build off of it.
Yeah, it's a good win. Every win's a good win, but they actually got a win where they outshot someone.
And they got a win when I was in attendance, which
more important for you.
You and I will be at a game in December, hoping that it actually matters. All right, we got Lions talk, 248-539-9797. The question is, are you going to the home game this weekend? I know it says at Indianapolis, but I think this is going to be the takeover game. It's going to be a home game. It's drivable. It's affordable. You guys may have bought tickets before the year, and everybody wants to be part of this phenomenon that is Lions takeovers. We'll get your phone calls on that, plus your thoughts on the game. We got Brian Baldinger coming up at 8:18. 9:18, we'll have Valeni in here for Dog of the Week. We still have our Friday picks. And the headline this week, the collapse is on. Heather Park 2-5 last week. Everybody else went 5-2 or better. Heather.
It's 1 week.
And it's all coming crashing down.
Oh, sure.
Sucks, doesn't it?
You don't even know what this feels like.
It was a bad week. It's 1 week. Whatever.
Wait till you have two in a row. Yeah. Let's see if it happens.
It's all starting. Let's get to Eric and Warren. Eric, good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
What's up?
Yeah, good. I'm going to the game this weekend, leaving tomorrow morning. I'm going to stop and see my brother in Kokomo for a couple hours on the way down. But this is my 23rd road trip over my 45 years as season ticket holder.
Wow.
Hell yeah.
How many NFL stadiums have you not been to?
Well, I've been to a couple of them twice. Well, actually, I say Houston twice, but I went to one game in the old Astrodome. I don't know. I think about half of them.
Okay.
Believe it or not, even though 23, I got to go, still got to go to about half. And then I'd like to go back to the ones where they built a new stadium from the one I went to.
Yeah, I know. I want to go back to some of them that I played and they're no longer stand. I know yeah. How you feel.
But one thing I do want to say, the Lions have always traveled well. Maybe not in these numbers that they're seeing now, but they always traveled well. I could always find a big pack of Lions fans everywhere I went.
What's
and
been
especially down south? I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was going to say, what's been your favorite stadium to go to?
I went to Minneapolis last year. That stadium is fantastic.
Yep.
I used to really love Seahawks Stadium or whatever the corporate name is. the one up in Minneapolis is a fantastic stadium. I'd go back there again if I got another chance. I didn't do it this year, but I'd do it again. Some cities are fun to go to. Some stadiums are always a blast to be at, you know. Like I said, 45 years. One time back in 2010, they played Tampa and Miami on back-to-back weekends, and I spent 10 days in Florida.
To go to both?
Went down to Key, yeah, I went to both games. I went to Key West for the week in between.
There you go.
Hung
hey,
out down there.
Travel safe. Have a great time.
Yeah, enjoy it. It should
all
be a
right.
fun one.
All right, go Lions. Yeah,
go Lions. Some ticket texters. There's a bus of 70 of us going from work, leaving at 9 a.m. on Saturday. Mm. That's Scott in Detroit. Hey, guys, I personally know 33 people going, three different groups of people heading down to take over Indianapolis. As far as what to look for in this game, will Jack Fox have an opportunity to punt? That's Steven Petoskey.
Could be his fourth bye week.
Could be.
Texter wants to know, when will the starters get pulled? Will it be late third or the fourth quarter this week? I think Dan answered that
yeah,
with us.
Yeah, it's fourth.
Got to be fourth.
I have been to Lucas Oil for a Lions game. I went in 2008, the 0-16 season. So for my father-in-law's 70th birthday. It's a fantastic stadium. John knows
oh, yeah.
this. I think downtown Indy and going to a road game is probably the best city to go to be honest with you. Not having been to others, I just think the setup, proximity of everything is very convenient. Lots of good places to eat. St. Elmo's obviously is the biggest. I'm sure that place is booked already for Saturday.
Yeah. Well,
but it's a great venue.
It is because if you're able to get a room downtown, a lot of the rooms downtown are, it's easy to walk to the stadium, so you don't have to worry about parking. If you're going to stay outside of town, there's plenty of parking to be able to park easily and tailgate. And there's always something going on. Every time that we've been there for a game, now granted, Big Ten Championship game, there's a lot going on in the city, but anytime you go to Indy, even if you're not going for a sporting event, there is always something going on downtown, so it's very entertaining.
Yeah, and I've been there a couple times for college basketball games too, tournaments. And the thing about it is once you park your car, you don't have to use it again,
right?
You know, and you don't have to use like cabs really if you can park. I mean, they have a lot of hotels downtown. I mean, yeah. I know everybody. I think this takeover is so big that everybody probably can't stay downtown.
What do you think the percentage is, Lions fans at this game?
I mean, it's so hard to really grasp. I don't.
The majority. Do you think the majority will be Lions fans?
Oh, so you think at Lucas Oil that there's going to be 51 or larger percentage?
The Karshian 51%. I do. Is that? Am I out of line to think that? Is that disrespectful to Indy? Because I think that speaks to what Lions fans are capable of and all the factors we've been hitting on.
I think it is. And this has potential to be a 49er-like takeover in L.A. You guys have noticed it when they play each other. It's mostly red.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean,
well, it's anybody that goes to L.A., their fans generally take over SoFi because they're so indifferent to their football teams.
I mean, I imagine this team going in, the setup was, you know, they played their best game last week. Richardson probably played his best game of his career. And they probably already sold their tickets, some of these people.
Yeah. Ticket text 248-539-9797. They're echoing that this is actually cheaper than going to a Lions game for people. Using hotel points and the tickets themselves are cheaper than paying to go to a game at Ford Field. I mean, the tickets, if you looked ahead, if you look at Buffalo, if you look at the primetime game against the Packers, going to Lions games.
If you're not a season, if you haven't already bought your tickets, yeah, the price just continues to go up.
Brian in East Point, you're on 97.1.
Hey, going to Indy on Saturday. It'd be my 97th road game.
Wow. How long you been doing this?
Since 1996.
Okay. Have you been to every city? Every and sometimes new stadiums, but have you been to every city that the NFL plays in?
Cincinnati, Buffalo, and Denver. Those are my only three I haven't been to.
Huh, Cincinnati, Buffalo. Those are both drive-to games. I'm surprised. I guess that we don't play them very often.
Yeah.
Right, every 8 years. So I was in Indy in 2016 for Marvin Jones' first game after Calvin Johnson retired. So that was a great game. We won on the game-winning field goal.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
What's your favorite?
I would say SoFi. I was there when the Lions played the Rams in Stafford's game, and also when we played the Chargers last year when we won on the game-winning field goal. SoFi is good. Minnesota is good. So a lot of great stadiums, but those are at the top of my list.
Let's say you're the expert. I mean, you've been to almost all of them at this point. Yeah. That's awesome.
Are you
going to
commemorate your 100th road trip? Is it going to happen this year?
No, it won't happen till next year. I've been to every road game this year. I'm not going to Chicago or San Francisco because those are on holiday weekends, Christmas, and New Year's. So my 100th road game will be next season.
Right. You have to call us back then. Yeah, let us celebrate it.
Absolutely.
Right?
We want to be a part of that celebration.
I definitely will. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Brian. Good stuff. That's awesome.
That's all. Yeah.
I mean, do you have, I know a lot of fans have the bucket list of like hitting all these stadiums. Do you have desire to do that? Or is it just too hard at this point in your life? You got kids and you work in the fall. Like,
yeah, I mean, that's going to be down the road. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stadiums that and cities that I would love to go to. But I played in most of the cities. Yeah, so
checked off a lot of boxes, done that. Texter says, I'm surprised John hasn't mentioned for those traveling to Indy to make sure to stop along the way.
I was going
to
mention it. I was glad somebody else did.
Says, get some fudge from Uranus, Dave and Warren. is that a city along the way?
No, it's a fudge shop. And you, but what you
at?
See is it's along the path to get to Indianapolis, and you start seeing the signs. All the best fudge comes from Uranus, and... I mean, the signs are epic. In fact, this was before you were a part of the show, and so I would send Tom and Stoney the signs. Like I would take a picture as we were driving along of the signs. I'm like, you can't believe this. And actually, last year I took the kids and we made the. It's about, I don't know, maybe 3-4 minutes off the highway. We stopped at Uranus.
Whole family affair.
Oh, yeah. And as soon as you go in, they are obviously the name of it. They have bought into the name, and it's hilarious. If anybody's going down there and you see the signs, just stop in. It's worth the stop.
What's the smell like?
Smells like fudge.
Okay. We'll get to Brian Baldinger. We got picks. We got Valeni in the 9 o'clock hour. It's 97.1.
Hey, I've been talking about injury attorney David Femininio for some time. Just listen to some of the results that David and his amazing team have been able to get for injured clients. $3.5 million for one, $5 million for another, and it only gets better. $11.5 million for an individual client. You need an attorney that will fight just as relentlessly for you. You can call and speak to David right now by calling 855-65-CRASH, or you can always go to his website, GetDavidGetPaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at GetDavidGetPaid.com.
We're very excited. Lions playing the Colts this weekend. Could it be a takeover game where the Lions turn it into a home game? More Lions fans than Colts fans. The buzz is real. The excitement for this weekend is real. We got Brian Baldinger joining us to talk football. And Brian, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing great.
Yeah.
Let's get your thoughts on snow games. Thursday night football last night. How do you feel about them?
I love them. I love playing in them. I love watching them. It's great on TV, but it was fun playing them, just like you saw some of those guys last night making snow angels in the ground and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I love playing in those games.
It gives you a chance to see some of the personalities of the guys and the fact that they are still kids playing a kid's game.
No question about it, John. And I don't know. There's just something about it. It just feels like that's the way it's supposed to be played. We all played, whether it was in high school, the guys that lived up to the north, I did for a long time. You got a chance to play some championship games and Thanksgiving Day games in the snow. I mean, it just reminds you of going out there when you were a kid, playing and throwing the football around with your brothers and your dad and stuff like that. Kind of takes you way back.
So let's talk a little bit of Lions, but before we do, let's talk about some of the teams that may or may not face in the Super Bowl. Your takeaway from Kansas City's loss, but more importantly, maybe Buffalo's win.
I thought, Buffalo played really well, John. Their offensive line, I think, is, probably Detroit, Buffalo, Philadelphia. You could toss them up. They're all three very, very good, very healthy, and kind of dominant all season long. And so that's what Buffalo's offensive line was. They did a great job against Chris Jones. They don't give up big plays defensively. And Josh Allen is right there with Jared Goff and Lamar Jackson for MVPs. And you need your quarterback to play big when you get to the postseason. And all three of them did on Sunday. And so I think that Lamar was a little bit less than normal. But, I mean, we're used to seeing him play at that level. So I thought that, Buffalo outplayed Kansas City. And they have done that before in the regular season. Weren't able to do that in the postseason. But they'll probably see each other down the road sometime in January.
Talking to Brian Baldinger, insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes all football season. Brian, it's a mobile quarterback, Anthony Richardson, for the Detroit Lions this week. What challenges does he pose for this team?
Well, he scored the game-winning touchdown. To beat the Jets last week, they were down by 10 points. He took them down the field in the fourth quarter, two long drives, executed about as perfectly as you can to go win that game. He'll throw some to the other team now. If I'm Kirby Joseph, if I'm Brian Branch, I'd be working on my ball drills this week because you're going to get a chance. But he is extremely talented. They do start three rookies in their offensive line. They all played really well on Sunday, but they are rookies. So if I'm the Detroit Lions, I might want to go test some of those guys and just see what they're really made of. But he's talented, and he can throw the ball a long ways. I remember week one against the Houston Texans, probably the fifth play of the game. He uncorked a 60-yarder to Alec Pierce. You can't throw it any better. So, he'll challenge you from his talent standpoint, but he's far from polished and being completely accurate the way you got to be in this league.
Eight drives, eight scores, seven touchdowns on the first seven drives, and one more field goal. Then they just ran the clock out in their final possession. When you watch that game, or just the Lions in general, we always want to know what's concerning. What could they do better? Because it's sometimes hard to find in a performance like that.
I don't know, John. I mean, I watched that game against Jacksonville like you did, and I couldn't find a weakness. I mean, Jacksonville, they've got a couple good players. I mean, some of those pass rushers, Trayvon Walker and Josh Einsallen, all those guys, I mean, they're pretty good players. They were invisible. I thought the offensive line was absolutely dominant. They have a real rotation right now at running back and how they use those guys, and they're both extremely effective. Getting Jameson back on the field makes a big difference. I don't know what the weakness is because they make these bad teams look really bad. And so maybe Indianapolis will give them a little better fight. I guess that's the one thing, John, is can you get complacent when you're just blowing teams out the way they are? And could you think you're better than you really are? I mean, like the one catch by Gibbs, I think it was the second quarter, he takes it 58 yards, sets up another score. I mean, they just didn't cover him. So, you might get just a little fooled
by just how good you are by some of the breakdowns on the other teams. Maybe that's the one weakness right now is, can you be fooled by beating up all these bad teams as quickly as you do?
It's a good problem to have. Yep. He's Brian Baldinger. We appreciate your time.
All right.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, yeah. Brian.
All right, guys. You bet. Yep.
Well, guys, Jason Kelce is coming to late night TV. On Jimmy Kimmel Live, Kelce revealed that he's set to host a new show on ESPN. This one-hour show called They Call It Late Night with Jason Kelce will air every Friday beginning on January 3rd, which also then coincides with the last week of the NFL's regular season and the playoffs. It's going to be filmed in front of a live audience from Union Transfer in Philadelphia. And the first four episodes will air at 1 a.m., and then the final episode will be at 1:30 on February 1st. And it sounds like he's going to have a whole lot of fun with it. He said it's going to feature legends of the game, friends that he has played with, coaches, celebrities. There's also going to be a live band part of the show as cool. well. So it sounds like it's going to be a fun time.
That's late night. It's 1 a.m.
I mean, that's morning. Yeah. Technically.
Yeah.
It's not even night. It's
But who
morning.
Knows? It feels like pretty low pressure. Only a few shows round out
yes.
the season if it's going well. Maybe it's something that they do next season.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it sounds like it's fun.
Give them a chance to catch on, yeah.
There's some people that will be wide awake to watch it. Others will just maybe watch it after the fact.
Well, that's how all these late night shows right? are now anyway. It's like they're all clipped for yes. social media. If he has fun, if he has moments, it'll go viral.
Exactly.
He's a lot of fun.
Thousands of people are expected to pour into downtown Detroit's Campus Martius and, of course, the surrounding areas for the city's annual Christmas tree lighting,
mm-hmm.
which is super fun. At least 50,000 people are expected to attend, and the Detroit Police Department is prepared to make it safe. They want everyone to know that if you're headed downtown, there's going to be a lot of police there to make sure everything is going as smoothly as possible. So the interim police chief says that there will be obviously Detroit police officers, along with Wayne County Sheriff's Officer deputies, Michigan State Police troopers, and other plainclothes officers amongst the crowd. Also noted that there's going to be a high density metal detectors that will be able to move people through very fast. Did note it is a weapons-free zone, so
yep.
know what to bring, know what to leave at home. They also said they're going to be enforcing a curfew for minors. So don't just go and drop your kids off and then go do whatever you want. 8 p.m. for those 15 and under and 11 p.m. for 16 and 17-year-olds. So you got to be there, you know, with an adult. So festivities will begin at 4 p.m. The ceremony is scheduled to end at 9 p.m. There's going to be musical and ice skating performances, you know, food trucks, adult beverages, non-alcoholic drinks, of course, as well. And of course, the big Christmas tree lighting ceremony, which
is
the centerpiece. So this is pretty cool. Detroit has been named one of the top 50 places to travel in the world in 2025. This is all according to Travel and Leisure, and they have different categories. So it's not number one overall. This was in their category, Big City Thrills. Came in at number one in
wow.
Detroit. Now, other places to go on their list for Big City Thrills, Hong Kong, Shenzhen, China, Rome.
Mm-hmm.
We beat all those out. Portland, Sacramento as well on the list. So this is a quote from the magazine. It says, if you weren't one of the nearly 800,000 people who hit Detroit for the 2024 NFL Draft, 2025 may be the year you join those in the know. The city has its swagger back as adaptive reuse and ground up projects are bringing new energy to its neighborhoods.
Nice.
I was wondering what the selling mm-hmm. point from this year and the draft.
Yeah, the draft. Yes.
Yes.
Those 800,000 people that yeah. filled downtown. Yep. This story to me is just so wild. The guy who faked his death by kayak is alive and well, and he is sharing video and in communication with police. And in a video that he shared from his apartment or wherever he's living, somewhere in Eastern Europe, he explained what he did. So he went missing back in August. They found a capsized kayak. They found a tackle box with his license. They searched for his body for 54 days, never found him. And then, of course, things started to turn over to a different type of investigation. Well, he told police that he fled because of personal matters. And he says that he picked the deepest lake in Wisconsin to stage his death. He used an inflatable boat to get back to shore. He rode an e-bike 70 miles to Madison, Wisconsin, then took a bus to Detroit, then a bus to Canada, got on a plane from there.
He was here.
So yeah. He was here for a brief moment. Yes. He could be charged. He is not facing any charges yet with obviously obstructing this investigation, which went on for quite a while, cost at least $35,000. But he is concerned about how the community will react if he does come home to his family, his three kids and his wife that he just
upped and left.
Abandoned.
And yeah, tried to make them think he was dead. Yeah, I'm sure the community will love to have him back.
Open arms.
Yes.
All right.
His kids will. I mean, that's what they're trying to pull at the heartstrings. Yeah. Your kids need you. It's the holidays. Let's come home. And then we'll slap you with a charge.
Heather with the news. Coming up next, everybody had a great week last week, except Heather Park. Can we make it two in a row? It's 97.1.
Hey, the NBA is back, and FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, wants you to catch all the action. Right now, FanDuel is giving everyone 3 months of NBA League Pass. All you have to do to catch every tip-off or buzzer beater is place any $5 bet on the NBA to get 3 months of NBA League Pass, courtesy of FanDuel. That way, you don't have to miss out on anybody that you want to watch, whether it's KD, Wemby, LeBron, doesn't matter. Just visit FanDuel.com/Jansen to make every moment more this season. FanDuel. Official sportsbook partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. After 3 month free trial, the full price of League Pass will be automatically charged monthly. You can cancel anytime. No refunds, terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Limit one pass per customer. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You realize what happened. Heather took all favorites. Just laying touchdowns, field goals.
I've never done that. I don't think.
It's because you're panicking.
In your vast history
of picks.
She's in trouble. Okay, we have a bunch of things to talk about today on a Friday. Of course, the Lions, if you guys want to call in, we asked the question, are they going to take over Indianapolis? Like, the majority of fans there will be Lions fans. Seems crazy, but not really. It's a short drive. Cheaper to go there than go to Ford Field. Colts aren't having a great season. Lions are doing this every single week. So if you're a Lions fan planning a trip, you got thoughts on the game, you want to talk the matchup, we're not going to turn you away. But the big headline today is the big day for the Wolverines. Bryce Underwood picks Michigan. And our question is, what does that say about the future of Michigan? Like, college football is a fast-moving train. And if you don't get on, you'll get run over. This pushes Michigan fully into the NIL era. That's a game changer, whether Bryce Underwood is or not. And he gives them a jolt at the position that they desperately need a jolt at, quarterback. It gives Sharon Moore a cornerstone early in his tenure to headline his first recruiting class. And Bryce's presence is bringing other players in. So for Michigan, it's a 6-win season, in all likelihood. But this gives you a much needed change. I think this is a game-changing decision. 248-539-9797. We'd love to hear what you guys make of it. This is landing a quarterback, a hometown guy. He posted the video, and he had a clip in there about him when he was younger saying, I'm taking my talents to the Michigan Wolverines. So it's a cool story that he stays in state, and it speaks to Michigan that they were able to pony up, step up, and land a big-time player.
That video was made in 2016. I wonder if it was recorded on a flip phone.
Sure.
Yes, because he flipped.
But
it took me a minute. I got it before the commercial break. So I'm making progress.
Did you get the anniversary, by the way?
I did, yes. The anniversary is today, November 22. The 1997 was one of my many anniversaries of wins over Ohio State.
It's hard
to keep track of, yeah.
And we've also buried this anniversary bit. The Fords bought the team.
Dylan, that was Thanksgiving, right?
November 22nd.
Huh.
Also a very famous day.
Kennedy was assassinated.
Are we going down the list of things that happened today?
I know. I just made a bad dad joke, so.
Let's see.
So getting back to Michigan football.
Yeah.
When it becomes official, the first full recruiting class for Sharon Moore, you're going to see a lot of guys that are going to come because they want to play with other certain individuals. It's one that it does start to snowball and creates the good players attract good players. And I don't know where Michigan, I don't follow the whole recruiting rankings. I think they're in the top 10 nationally.
Ninth on 24/7 Sports.
Okay. But we'll get a chance to see what Sherrone Moore can do in the totality of his job of being able to recruit his own players. Then the next step is going to be, when does the transfer portal open up? How many of guys on this roster that he currently has enter the portal? How many can he go and identify as needs to be able to fill with experienced players? They're all different landmarks when you talk about, you know, energizing a program that's coming off a national title but is going to more than likely finish 6-6.
When Harbaugh was here, he had the phrase, it wasn't transactional. What was the phrase that he had? It was
transformational,
yes.
Not transactional.
Yes. And I think Sherrone is trying to blend the two. He's not ignoring relationships, but I think you have to be able to pay the freight to get the best players. And then the reported offer, that $10.5 million offer, that's a big deal. Like, this isn't your father's Michigan. This isn't your father's college football. This is a very different landscape. And for Michigan to cannonball in, to say, we aren't above this, we are very much going to have to compete in this sport this way, and Sherrone Moore has embraced it, and the collective is on board, this feels like a game changer for Michigan. Whether Bryce Underwood turns into a Heisman Trophy winner or the number one overall pick, I certainly think those things are worth discussing for the number one player in the country. But even if he doesn't live up to it, it says that Michigan's here, they're going to try, they're going to be aggressive, and if it's not Bryce Underwood, it'll be someone else next time. That's a big deal. It's a big day for Michigan fans.
It is. And when you think about, you know, Michigan and where it goes from here, you're looking for anything that says, okay, things are going to get better. After the recruiting class signs, and I go right down the timeline again, recruiting class, transfer portal, spring ball, obviously, you know, leading into next year, where you're hoping that this is going to be, that will be a much better season, and one that's, even if it's not a lot more wins, that's what we all hope for.
Yep.
You know, 10, 11 trips to the college football playoffs again, but that it's just an exciting brand of football to watch.
Ticket Texter, all caps, we got a freaking quarterback, baby. Wolverine fans waking up in a good mood today. There are people on the other side of this, says, getting a high score to flip because your school threw enough money at him isn't the flex you think it is. Tom in Howell. No, but it's playing the game.
Right.
What's the alternative? To like sit in an ivory tower and say, well, we sold him on an education and he didn't pick us. Like, get in the mix. Play the game. Win the game, which is what Michigan is doing by landing Bryce Underwood. Ticket Texter says, Jim, you're making this out to be some heartstrings argument about, you know, him coming, staying home. It's about money. Listen, he put that in his video is why I referenced it. But I think all of it has to factor in when you make your decision.
There's a lot of factors, and there's even more factors now than there's ever been in a college athlete making the decision of where they want to go to college, where they want to play the next level of sports. It's got to be about the coach. It's got to be about the school. But you're also throwing in the fact that if you're able to make a lot of money at one place, that's got to be a part of the decision.
Jim, you're painting this picture. It's disgusting. He went to the highest bidder. That's all nothing to do with childhood vibes. Okay, let's just take that at face value. Then shouldn't Michigan feel good about being the highest bidder, by being top dog? Isn't that a good thing for the University of Michigan's football program? Because you weren't saying that a year ago, 2 years ago, or 3 years ago.
No. What was the conversation up until this point? They didn't go to the portal to get a quarterback.
Yep.
There's two ways to get a quarterback. One, through the portal or recruiting.
The kid sold his soul and abandoned the program he wanted to go to just to get a check. Modern college football is shameful. Okay, we got...
Yeah, I mean, yeah, tell me you're not over 65. Yeah.
Come on. Texter says, not sure how Rico and Mike will negatively spin this story, but I'm sure they'll find a way. Valeni will be in at 9:18. We can get his thoughts on this. Did it break after their show? I don't think they've talked about this yet. This one says, can Bryce start for us this weekend? Hopeful Michigan fan on the ticket text.
Yeah, early enrollees have not yet done that during the college football season.
All right, so Bryce Underwood is a conversation piece. The Lions are a huge conversation. It's a Football Friday. We got the open lines. We'll continue the conversation next. It's 97.1. Quick note on the Red Wings. That's more like it.
Yeah. Did you have the, did you do what we asked? The car flags?
I didn't.
Oh.
But I did wear for the first time this year the Red Wing jersey, the sweater. Sweater season's here.
Is there a number on the back? Name on the back?
Yeah, I got Mo Sider, baby. Long-term deal. Future of this team. John, it was long overdue. They actually outplayed the opponent. They deserved to win the game, and it was stressful because they weren't going to win it until the very end. But that was great. Kasper Kane and Kat on the same line was a good thing to see. Looked like maybe there's some more that they can get out of that group together. And it was an important win. We spent some time this week with some hyperventilating and some deep breaths and the Iser plan. And it's not all fixed, but they needed that game. Now they have a stretch coming up with a bunch of home games. Start to build off of it.
Yeah, it's a good win. Every win's a good win. But they actually got a win where they outshot someone.
And they got a win when I was in attendance, which...
More important for you.
You and I will be at a game in December, hoping that it actually matters. All right, we got Lions talk, 248-539-9797. The question is, are you going to the home game this weekend? I know it says at Indianapolis, but I think this is going to be the takeover game. It's going to be a home game. It's drivable. It's affordable. You guys may have bought tickets before the year, and everybody wants to be part of this phenomenon that is Lions takeovers. We'll get your phone calls on that, plus your thoughts on the game. We got Brian Baldinger coming up at 8:18. 9:18, we'll have Valeni in here for Dog of the Week. We still have our Friday picks. And the headline this week, the collapse is on. Heather Park 2-5 last week. Everybody else went 5-2 or better. Heather.
It's 1 week.
And it's all
enjoy
coming crashing down.
Oh, sure.
Sucks, doesn't it?
You don't even know what this feels like.
It was a bad week. It's 1 week. Whatever.
Wait till you have two in a row. Yeah. Let's see if it happens.
It's all starting. Let's get to Eric and Warren. Eric, good morning.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
What's up?
Yeah, good. I'm going to the game this weekend, leaving tomorrow morning. I'm going to stop and see my brother in Kokomo for a couple hours on the way down. But this is my 23rd road trip over my 45 years as season ticket holder.
Wow.
Yeah.
How many NFL stadiums have you not been to?
Well, I've been to a couple of them twice. I say Houston twice, but I went to one game in the old Astrodome. I don't know. I think about half of them.
Okay.
Believe it or not, even though 23, I still got to go to about half. And then I'd like to go back to the ones where they built a new stadium from the one I went to.
Yeah, I know. I want to go back to some of them that I played and they're no longer stand. I know how you feel.
But one thing I do want to say, the Lions have always traveled well. Maybe not in these numbers that they're seeing now, but they always traveled well. I could always find a big pack of Lions fans everywhere I went. Especially down south. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, what's been your favorite stadium to go to?
I went to Minneapolis last year. That stadium is fantastic.
Yep.
I used to really love Seahawks Stadium or whatever the corporate name is. the one up in Minneapolis is a fantastic stadium. I'd go back there again if I got another chance. I didn't do it this year, but I'd do it again. Some cities are fun to go to. Some stadiums are always a blast to be at, you know. You know, like I said, 45 years. One time back in 2010, they played Tampa and Miami on back-to-back weekends, and I spent 10 days in Florida.
To go to both.
Went down to Key, I went to both games. I went to Key West for the week in between.
There you go.
Hung out down there.
Travel safe. Have a great time.
Yeah, enjoy it. It should
be
a fun one.
All right, go Lions. Thanks.
Go Lions. Some ticket texters. There's a bus of 70 of us going from work, leaving at 9 a.m. on Saturday. Mm. That's Scott in Detroit. Hey, guys, I personally know 33 people going, three different groups of people heading down to take over Indianapolis. As far as what to look for in this game, will Jack Fox have an opportunity to punt? That's Steven Petoskey.
Could be his fourth bye week.
Could be.
Texter wants to know, when will the starters get pulled? Will it be late third or the fourth quarter this week? I think Dan answered that with us.
Yeah, it's fourth.
Got to be fourth.
I have been to Lucas Oil for a Lions game. I went in 2008, the 0-16 season. So for my father-in-law's 70th birthday, it's fantastic stadium. John knows this. I think downtown Indy and going to a road game is probably the best city to go to be honest with you. Not having been to others, I just think the setup, proximity of everything is very convenient. Lots of good places to eat. St. Elmo's obviously is the biggest. I'm sure that place is booked already for Saturday. Yeah.
Well,
but it's a great venue.
It is, because if you're able to get a room downtown, a lot of the rooms downtown are, it's easy to walk to the stadium, so you don't have to worry about parking. If you're going to stay outside of town, there's plenty of parking to be able to park easily and tailgate. And there's always something going on. Every time that we've been there for a game, now, granted, Big Ten Championship game, there's a lot going on in the city, but anytime you go to Indy, even if you're not going for a sporting event, there is always something going on downtown, so it's very entertaining.
Yeah, and I've been there a couple times for college basketball games too, tournaments. And the thing about it is once you park your car, you don't have to use it again,
right?
You know, and you don't have to use like cabs really if you can park. I mean, they have a lot of hotels downtown. I mean, yeah. I know everybody. I think this takeover is so big that everybody probably can't stay downtown.
What do you think the percentage is, Lions fans at this game?
I mean, it's so hard to really grasp.
The majority. Do you think the majority will be Lions fans?
Oh, so you think at Lucas Oil that there's going to be 51 or larger percentage?
The Karshian 51%. I do. Is that, am I out of line to think that? Is that disrespectful to Indy? Because I think that speaks to what Lions fans are capable of and all the factors we've been hitting on.
I think it is. And this has potential to be a 49er like takeover in LA. You guys have noticed it when they play each other. It's mostly red.
Yep. Yeah.
I mean,
well, it's anybody that goes to LA, their fans generally take over SoFi because they're so indifferent to their football teams.
I mean, I imagine this team going in, the setup was, you know, they played their best game last week. Richardson probably played his best game of his career. And they probably already sold their tickets, some of these people.
Yeah. Ticket text 248-539-9797. They're echoing that this is actually cheaper than going to a Lions game for people. Using hotel points and the tickets themselves are cheaper than paying to go to a game at Ford Field. I mean, the tickets, if you looked ahead, if you look at Buffalo, if you look at the primetime game against the Packers, going to Lions games.
If you're not a season, if you haven't already bought your tickets, yeah, the price just continues to go up.
Brian in East Point, you're on 97.1.
Hey, going to Indy on Saturday, it'd be my 97th road game.
Wow, how long you been doing this?
Since 1996.
Okay. Have you been to every city? Sometimes new stadiums, but have you been to every city that the NFL plays in?
Cincinnati, Buffalo, and Denver. Those are my only three I haven't been to.
Huh, Cincinnati, Buffalo. Those are both drive-to games. I'm surprised. I guess that we don't play them very often.
Yeah.
Right, every 8 years. So I was in Indy in 2016 for Marvin Jones' first game after Calvin Johnson retired. So that was a great game. We won on the game-winning field goal.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
What's your favorite?
I would say SoFi. I was there when the Lions played the Rams at Stafford's game, and also when we played the Chargers last year when we won on the game-winning field goal. SoFi is good. Minnesota is good. So a lot of great stadiums, but those are at the top of my list.
Let's say you're the expert. Okay. I mean, you've been to almost all of them at this point. Yeah. That's awesome.
Are you
going to
commemorate your 100th road trip? Is it going to happen this year?
No, it won't happen until next year. I've been to every road game this year. I'm not going to Chicago or San Francisco because those are on holiday weekends, Christmas, and New Year's. So my 100th road game will be next season.
Right. You have to call us back then and we can celebrate it.
Absolutely.
Right?
We want to be a part of that celebration.
I definitely will. Thank you.
Appreciate it, Brian. Good stuff. That's awesome.
That's all. Yeah.
I mean, do you have, I know a lot of fans have the bucket list of like hitting all these stadiums. Do you have desire to do that? Or is it just too hard at this point in your life? You got kids and you work in the fall. Like,
yeah, I mean, that's going to be down the road. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stadiums that and cities that I would love to go to. But I played in most of the cities. Yeah, so
checked off a lot of boxes, done that. Texter says, I'm surprised John hasn't mentioned for those traveling to Indy to make sure to stop along the way.
I was going
to
mention it. I was glad somebody else did.
Says, get some fudge from Uranus, Dave and Warren. is that a city along the way?
No, it's a fudge shop. But what you see is it's along the path to get to Indianapolis, and you start seeing the signs. All the best fudge comes from Uranus and... I mean, the signs are epic. In fact, this was before you were a part of the show, And so I would send Tom and Stoney the signs. Like, I would take a picture as we were driving along of the signs. I'm like, you can't believe this. And actually, last year, I took the kids, and we made the it's about, I don't know, maybe 3-4 minutes off the highway. We stopped at Uranus.
Whole family affair.
Oh, yeah. And as soon as you go in, they are obviously the name of it. They have bought into the name, and it's hilarious. If anybody's going down there and you see the signs, just stop in. It's worth the stop.
What's the smell like?
Smells like fudge.
Okay. We'll get to Brian Baldinger. We got picks. We got Valeni in the 9 o'clock hour. It's 97.1.
Hey, I've been talking about injury attorney David Femininio for some time. Just listen to some of the results that David and his amazing team have been able to get for injured clients. $3.5 million for one, $5 million for another, and it only gets better. $11.5 million for an individual client. You need an attorney that will fight just as relentlessly for you. You can call and speak to David right now by calling 855-65-CRASH, or you can always go to his website, getdavidgetpaid.com. That number again, 855-65-CRASH, or on the web at getdavidgetpaid.com.
We're very excited. Lions playing the Colts this weekend. Could it be a takeover game where the Lions turn it into a home game? More Lions fans than Colts fans. The buzz is real. The excitement for this weekend is real. We got Brian Baldinger joining us to talk football. And Brian, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing great.
Yeah.
Let's get your thoughts on snow games. Thursday night football last night. How do you feel about them?
I love them. I love playing in them. I love watching them. It's great on TV, but it was fun playing them, just like you saw some of those guys last night making snow angels in the ground and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I love playing in those games.
It gives you a chance to see some of the personalities of the guys and the fact that they are still kids playing a kid's game.
No question about it, John. And I don't know. There's just something about it. It just feels like that's the way it's supposed to be played. We all played. Whether it was in high school, the guys that lived up in the north, I did for a long time. You got a chance to play some championship games and Thanksgiving Day games in the snow. I mean, it just reminds you of going out there when you were a kid, playing and throwing the football around with your brothers and your dad and stuff like that. Kind of takes you way back.
So let's talk a little bit of Lions, but before we do, let's talk about some of the teams that may or may not face in the Super Bowl. Your takeaway from Kansas City's loss, but more importantly, maybe Buffalo's win.
I thought, Buffalo played really well, John. Their offensive line, I think, is, probably Detroit, Buffalo, Philadelphia. You could toss them up. They're all three very, very good, very healthy, and kind of dominant all season long. And so that's what Buffalo's offensive line was. They did a great job against Chris Jones. They don't give up big plays defensively. And Josh Allen is right there with Jared Goff and Lamar Jackson for MVPs. And you need your quarterback to play big when you get to the postseason. And all three of them did on Sunday. And so I think that Lamar was a little bit less than normal, but, I mean, we're used to seeing him playing at that level. So I thought that, Buffalo outplayed Kansas City. And they have done that before in the regular season, weren't able to do that in the postseason. But they'll probably see each other down the road sometime in January.
Talking to Brian Baldinger. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes all football season. Brian, it's a mobile quarterback, Anthony Richardson, for the Detroit Lions this week. What challenges does he pose for this team?
Well, he scored the game-winning touchdown, to beat the Jets last week. They were down by 10 points. He took them down the field in the fourth quarter, two long drives, executed about as perfectly as you can to go win that game. He'll throw some to the other team now. If I'm Kirby Joseph, if I'm Brian Branch, I'd be working on my ball drills this week because you're going to get a chance. But he is extremely talented. They do start three rookies in their offensive line. They all played really well on Sunday, but they are rookies. So if I'm the Detroit Lions, I might want to go test some of those guys and just see what they're really made of. But he's talented, and he can throw the ball a long ways. I remember week one against the Houston Texans, probably the fifth play of the game. He uncorked a 60-yarder to Alec Pierce. You can't throw it any better. So You know, he'll challenge you from his talent standpoint, but he's far from polished and being completely accurate the way you got to be in this league.
Eight drives, you know, eight scores, seven touchdowns on the first seven drives, and one more field goal. Then they just ran the clock out in their final possession. When you watch that game, or just the Lions in general, we always want to know what's concerning. What could they do better? Because it's sometimes hard to find in a performance like that.
I don't know, John. I mean, I watched that game against Jacksonville like you did, and I couldn't find a weakness. I mean, Jacksonville, they've got a couple good players. I mean, some of those pass rushers, you know, Trayvon Walker and Josh Einsallen, all those guys, I mean, they're pretty good players. They were invisible. I thought the offensive line was absolutely dominant. They have a real rotation right now at running back and how they use those guys, and they're both extremely effective. Getting Jameson back on the field makes a big difference. I don't know what the weakness is because they make these bad teams look really bad. And so maybe Indianapolis will give them a little better fight. I guess that's the one thing, John, is can you get complacent when you're just blowing teams out the way they are? And could you think you're better than you really are? I mean, like the one catch by Gibbs, I think it was the second quarter, he takes it 58 yards, sets up another score. I mean, they just didn't cover him. So, you know, you might get just a little fooled by just how good you are by some of the breakdowns on the other teams. Maybe that's the one weakness right now is can you be fooled by beating up all these bad teams as quickly as you do?
It's a good problem to have. Yep. He's Brian Baldinger. We appreciate your time.
All right.
Thanks, Brian.
Thanks, yeah. Brian.
All right, guys. You bet. Yep.
Well, guys, Jason Kelce is coming to late night TV. On Jimmy Kimmel Live, Kelce revealed that he's set to host a new show on ESPN. This one-hour show called They Call It Late Night with Jason Kelce will air every Friday beginning on January 3rd, which also then coincides with the last week of the NFL's regular season and the playoffs. It's going to be filmed in front of a live audience from Union Transfer in Philadelphia. And the first four episodes will air at 1 a.m. And then the final episode will be at 1:30 on February 1st. And it sounds like he's going to have a whole lot of fun with it. He said it's going to feature legends of the game, friends that he has played with, coaches, celebrities. There's also going to be a live band part of the show as well. So it sounds like it's going to be a fun time.
That's late night. It's 1 a.m.
I mean, that's morning. Yeah. Technically.
Yeah.
It's not even night. It's
But who knows? It feels like pretty low pressure. Only a few shows. Round out the season if it's going well. Maybe it's something that they do next season.
Yeah. It sounds like it's fun.
A chance to catch on. Yeah.
There's some people that will be wide awake to watch it. Others will just maybe watch it after the fact.
Well, that's how all these late night shows right? are now anyway. It's like they're all clipped for social media. If he has fun, if he has moments, it'll go viral.
Exactly.
He's a lot of fun.
Thousands of people are expected to pour into downtown Detroit's Campus Martius and, of course, the surrounding areas for the city's annual Christmas tree lighting, which is super fun. At least 50,000 people are expected to attend, and the Detroit Police Department is prepared to make it safe. They want everyone to know that if you're headed downtown, there's going to be a lot of police there to make sure everything is going as smoothly as possible. So the interim police chief says that there will be obviously Detroit police officers, along with Wayne County Sheriff's Officer deputies, Michigan State Police troopers, and other plainclothes officers amongst the crowd. Also noted that there's going to be a high density metal detectors that will be able to move people through very fast. Did note it is a weapons-free zone, so they didn't know what to bring, know what to leave at home. They also said they're going to be enforcing a curfew for minors. So don't just go and drop your kids off and then go do whatever you want. 8 p.m. for those 15 and under and 11 p.m. for 16 and 17-year-olds. So you got to be there, you know, with an adult. So festivities will begin at 4 p.m. The ceremony is scheduled to end at 9 p.m. There's going to be musical and ice skating performances, you know, food trucks, adult beverages, non-alcoholic drinks, of course, as well. And of course, the big Christmas tree lighting ceremony, which is the centerpiece. So this is pretty cool. Detroit has been named one of the top 50 places to travel in the world in 2025. This is all according to Travel and Leisure, and they have different categories. So it's not number one overall. This was in their category, Big City Thrills. Came in at number one in Detroit. Now, other places to go on their list for Big City Thrills, Hong Kong, Shenzhen, China, Rome, Mm-hmm. We beat all those out. Portland, Sacramento as well on the list. So this is a quote from the magazine. It says, if you weren't one of the nearly 800,000 people who hit Detroit for the 2024 NFL draft, 2025 may be the year you join those in the know. The city has its swagger back as adaptive reuse and ground up projects are bringing new energy to its neighborhoods.
Nice.
I was wondering what the selling point from this year and the draft.
Yeah, the draft. Yes.
Yes.
Those 800,000 people that filled downtown. Yep. This story to me is just so wild. The guy who faked his death by kayak is alive and well, and he is sharing video and in communication with police. And in a video that he shared from his apartment or wherever he's living, somewhere in Eastern Europe, he explained what he did. So he went missing back in August. They found a capsized kayak. They found a tackle box with his license. They searched for his body for 54 days, never found him. And then, of course, things started to turn over to a different type of investigation. Well, he told police that he fled because of personal matters. And he says that he picked the deepest lake in Wisconsin to stage his death. He used an inflatable boat to get back to shore. He rode an e-bike 70 miles to Madison, Wisconsin, then took a bus to Detroit, then a bus to Canada, got on a plane from there.
He was here.
So he was here for a brief moment, yes. He could be charged. He is not facing any charges yet with, obviously, obstructing this investigation, which went on for quite a while, cost at least $35,000. But he is concerned about how the community will react if he does come home to his family, his three kids and his wife that he just...
up and left.
Abandoned.
And tried to make them think he was dead. Yeah, I'm sure the community will love to have him back.
Open arms.
Yes.
All right.
His kids will. I mean, then that's what they're trying to pull at the heartstrings. Yeah. Your kids need you. It's the holidays. Let's come home. And then we'll slap you with a charge.
Heather with the news. Coming up next, everybody had a great week last week, except Heather Park. Can we make it two in a row? It's 97.1.
Hey, the NBA is back, and FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, wants you to catch all the action. Right now, FanDuel is giving everyone 3 months of NBA League Pass. All you have to do to catch every tip-off or buzzer beater is place any $5 bet on the NBA to get 3 months of NBA League Pass, courtesy of FanDuel. That way, you don't have to miss out on anybody that you want to watch, whether it's KD, Wemby, LeBron, doesn't matter. Just visit FanDuel.com/Jansen to make every moment more this season. FanDuel. Official sportsbook partner of the NBA. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. After 3 month free trial, the full price of League Pass will be automatically charged monthly. You can cancel anytime. No refunds, terms, restrictions, and embargoes apply. Limit one pass per customer. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
You realize what happened. Heather took all favorites. Just laying touchdowns, field goals.
I've never done that. I don't think.
It's because you're panicking.
In your vast history of...
Yes, exactly. Yes. Of picks.
She's in trouble. Okay, we have a bunch of things to talk about today on a Friday. Of course, the Lions, if you guys want to call in, we asked the question, are they going to take over Indianapolis? Like, the majority of fans there will be Lions fans. Seems crazy, but not really. It's a short drive. Cheaper to go there than go to Ford Field. Colts aren't having a great season. Lions are doing this every single week. So if you're a Lions fan planning a trip, you got thoughts on the game, you want to talk the matchup, we're not going to turn you away. But the big headline today is the big day for the Wolverines. Bryce Underwood picks Michigan. And our question is, what does that say about the future of Michigan? Like, college football is a fast-moving train. And if you don't get on, you'll get run over. This pushes Michigan fully into the NIL era. That's a game changer whether Bryce Underwood is or not. And he gives them a jolt at the position that they desperately need a jolt at, quarterback. It gives Sharon Moore a cornerstone early in his tenure to headline his first recruiting class. And Bryce's presence is bringing other players in. So for Michigan, it's a 6-win season, in all likelihood. But this gives you a much-needed change. I think this is a game-changing decision. 248-539-9797. We'd love to hear what you guys make of it. This is landing a quarterback, a hometown guy. He posted the video, and he had a clip in there about him when he was younger saying, I'm taking my talents to the Michigan Wolverines. So it's a cool story that he stays in state, and it speaks to Michigan that they were able to pony up, step up, and land a big-time player.
That video was made in 2016. I wonder if it was recorded on a flip phone.
Sure.
Yes, because he flipped.
But
it took me a minute. I got it before the commercial break, so I'm making progress.
Did you get the anniversary, by the way?
I did, yes. The anniversary is today, November 22. The 1997 was one of my many anniversaries of wins over Ohio State.
It's hard to keep track of.
It was hard to keep track of, yeah.
And we've also buried this anniversary bit. The Fords bought the team.
Dylan, where? That was Thanksgiving, right?
November 22nd.
Huh.
Very famous day.
Kennedy was assassinated.
Are we going down the list of things that happened today?
I know. Greg just made a bad dad joke. So,
So getting back to Michigan football.
Yeah.
When it becomes official, the first full recruiting class for Sherrone Moore, you're going to see a lot of guys that are going to come because they want to play with other certain individuals. It's one that it does start to snowball and creates the, you know, good players attract good players. And I don't know where Michigan, I don't follow the whole recruiting rankings. I think they're in the top 10 nationally.
Ninth on 24/7 Sports.
Okay. But we'll get a chance to see what Sherrone Moore can do in the totality of his job, of being able to recruit his own players. Then the next step is going to be, when does the transfer portal open up? How many of guys on this roster that he currently has enter the portal? How many can he go and identify as needs to be able to fill with experienced players? They're all different landmarks when you talk about, you know, energizing a program that's coming off a national title but is going to more than likely finish 6-6.
When Harbaugh was here, he had the phrase, it wasn't transactional. What was the phrase that he had? It was
transformational,
yes.
Not transactional.
Yes. And I think Sherrone is trying to blend the two. He's not ignoring relationships, but I think you have to be able to pay the freight to get the best players. And then the reported offer, that $10.5 million offer, that's a big deal. Like, this isn't your father's Michigan. This isn't your father's college football. This is a very different landscape. And for Michigan to cannonball in, to say, we aren't above this, we are very much going to have to compete in this sport this way, and Sherrone Moore has embraced it, and the collective is on board. This feels like a game changer for Michigan. Whether Bryce Underwood turns into a Heisman Trophy winner or the number one overall pick, I certainly think those things are worth discussing for the number one player in the country. But even if he doesn't live up to it, it says that Michigan's here, they're going to try, they're going to be aggressive, and if it's not Bryce Underwood, it'll be someone else next time. That's a big deal. It's a big day for Michigan fans.
It is. And when you think about, you know, Michigan and where it goes from here, you're looking for anything that says, okay, things are going to get better. After the recruiting class signs, and I go right down the timeline again, recruiting class, transfer portal, spring ball, obviously, you know, leading into next year, where you're hoping that this is going to be, that will be a much better season, and one that's, even if it's not a lot more wins, that's what we all hope for.
Yep.
You know, 10, 11 trips to the college football playoffs again, but that it's just an exciting brand of football to watch.
Ticket Texter, all caps, we got a freaking quarterback, baby. Wolverine fans waking up in a good mood today. There are people on the other side of this, says, getting a high scorer to flip because your school threw enough money at him isn't the flex you think it is. Tom in Howell. No, but it's playing the game.
Right.
What's the alternative? To, like, sit in an ivory tower and say, well, we sold him on an education and he didn't pick us. Like, get in the mix. Play the game. Win the game, which is what Michigan is doing by landing Bryce Underwood. Ticket Texter says, Jim, you're making this out to be some heartstrings argument about, you know, him coming, staying home. It's about money. Listen, he put that in his video is why I referenced it. But I think all of it has to factor in when you make your decision.
There's a lot of factors, and there's even more factors now than there's ever been in a college athlete making the decision of where they want to go to college, where they want to play the next level of sports. It's got to be about the coach. It's got to be about the school. But you're also throwing in the fact that if you're able to make a lot of money at one place, that's got to be a part of the decision.
Jim, you're painting this picture. It's disgusting. He went to the highest bidder. That's all nothing to do with childhood vibes. Okay, let's just take that at face value. Then shouldn't Michigan feel good about being the highest bidder by being top dog? Isn't that a good thing for the University of Michigan's football program? Because you weren't saying that a year ago, 2 years ago, or 3 years ago.
No, no. What was the conversation up until this point? They didn't go to the portal to get a quarterback.
Yep.
So, there's two ways to get a quarterback. One, through the portal or recruiting.
The kid sold his soul and abandoned the program he wanted to go to just to get a check. Modern college football is shameful. Okay, we got...
Yeah, I mean, tell me you're not over 65. Yeah.
Come on. Texter says, not sure how Rico and Mike will negatively spin this story, but I'm sure they'll find a way. Valeni will be in at 9:18. We can get his thoughts on this. Did it break after their show? I don't think they've talked about this yet. This one says, can Bryce start for us this weekend? Hopeful Michigan fan on the ticket text.
Yeah, early enrollees have not yet done that during the college football season.
All right, so Bryce Underwood is a conversation piece. The Lions are a huge conversation. It's a Football Friday. We got the open lines. We'll continue the conversation next. It's 97.1.